Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside the playbook for Tuesday, and it's a bye week, which means we have no games to play, but trust me, we'll find things to nitpick today here inside the playbook. I'm John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino.
What? Rare Tuesday.
Why are you here?
Because it's the bye week. Everything's screwed up. We had yesterday off. I'm here today. We might have some time off at the end of the week.
Notice how there's no nice to see you, how you doing. It's why are you here?
Yeah. Trust me, I don't want to be here. It's a Tuesday. I'm used to being home. But yes, it worked out great. Yesterday was the better day weather-wise, so I was home for that.
All right. Well, then fair enough. That's okay. Glad to have you.
Thanks.
Glad to have you.
Thanks.
Sort of a backhanded
fact.
Yeah, no, yeah. Sort of a backhanded comment, but compliment as well. But
be with you all 3 days this week.
No way.
Way.
Seriously?
Yeah.
How about that? We're all privileged. We're all thrilled. Love it. All right. So, it was a close game, like we thought it would be. There's no doubt about it. I think we all realized it was going to be a close game. I know that you were leaning. You wanted to take the Cowboys. I wanted to take the Cowboys. I didn't pull the trigger on it. Obviously, it almost happened that way, but it hadn't been for Tom Terrific again with 22 seconds to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the game was much lower scoring than anybody really realized. And the funny thing about it is, I was down on the field before the game. And I was talking with Brad Sham, who we had on the program last week, voice of the Dallas
Cowboys.
Saw him
on the elevator coming up.
He's a wonderfully, just a marvelous guy. Friendly, outgoing, knows a lot. I mean, you know, he's a great, great person. And we were chatting on the field before the game. I was actually waiting for Jerry Jones, who I did get a chance
to
talk to.
Did you get to do it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah? Oh, good.
And he said, you know, and we were talking about the game. He said, yeah, somebody this week told me 38, 35, 37, 34, somewhere in that range. And I said, I even heard of 42, 38. And he goes, yeah, he said, I could actually see that. I could see 45, 42. But he said, in my 30-some-odd years in the NFL, my better judgment tells me that it's going to be low scoring. Bingo! Brad was right on the money. Just when you think you have two dynamic offenses ready to go at each other and just start trading haymakers, what happens? You get a defensive battle.
They cancel each other out.
They cancel each other out.
Yeah.
And that's really what happened. The Cowboy defense held the Patriots to one touchdown in 9 possessions before the final score. It was one touchdown in 9 possessions before the game-winning drive. That's remarkable.
And that one touchdown had to be reviewed.
Right. That's and well, it was
the first touchdown.
It was a stupid review.
I know it was, but
okay,
I'm
because
just saying.
Welker was so in, and the line judge on the play was right on it.
No,
how did he miss that?
I know, but my point is just that it was that close. It wasn't like Hernandez in the middle of the end zone. It was obvious he had the touchdown. You know what I mean? It was like Jason Witten's touchdown.
Yeah,
was ridiculous. It was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be as the play unfolded. I thought, oh, he's wide open. He's in for a touchdown. It ended up being like right on the goal line.
Just knuckleheaded is what it was. But, all right, so anyway, I think we saw that the Dallas Cowboys are a very talented team.
Sure.
Okay, that's the one thing. We said it all week. We weren't wrong. Nobody's wrong, even though the Cowboys are 2-3, and they're obviously somewhat maligned. They've got a lot of pieces to the puzzle that they still have to put together. They are very talented. Now, my guess is that because the division that they operate in the NFC East also has some teams that are somewhat maligned. I think the Cowboys will probably be right there. You could find a team winning that division, certainly 10-6, maybe 9-7.
Oh, sure.
9-7 could win that division.
Sure. I mean, the Eagles just won their second game with 4 losses, and they're still in contention. Everybody in that division is it's wide open.
Right,
I would
it's
say.
Definitely wide open. I mean, the Giants right now are kind of sitting on top of things, but
they don't precariously so,
very much so. All right, so here we go. The Cowboys are legit. They've got good talent. Their defense is athletic. Well, they did have one of the top ranked defenses statistically in the league coming into the game, and I think we sort of underscored that throughout the week. to be honest with you, Eric. Looking back on what we talked about last week, I think we just sort of said, yeah, you know, the Cowboys got some nice pieces of the puzzle. They don't overwhelm you in the secondary. They got some active linebackers. They certainly have DeMarcus Ware, who's a great threat to put pressure on the quarterback, which we learned, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, yeah. I just think we kind of thought, well, but you know what? The Patriots should still be able to move the ball and score. I think you got to give credit to the Dallas defense more so than really nitpick on the Patriots offense on Sunday. I mean, I did see a couple of breakdowns, a couple of lapses in the offensive line, a couple of them somewhat inexplicably coming from Logan Mankins.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, that shocked me. I don't think we ever see that.
Well, again, he was going up against a talented front. He's usually the much more talented player in his matchups. They, you know, he faced some players who were equally or as good as he is. That's going to happen. Sometimes the other side's going to win the battle.
Right.
Patriots won the war eventually, but, you know, yeah, sometimes. But it is rare, and you said it. It's rare with Mankins that he gives up plays like that.
All right. We have the Cowboys who were pretty decent. We had the Patriots who did not play terribly well. They did commit four turnovers again, second time this year they've done that. This time they didn't shoot themselves in the foot, and that's because they had Tom for the final drive of the game.
With plenty of time left. That was the more, okay. And I think what was even more key was what the Cowboys did, which was, it seemed to me, get scared to put the ball in Tony Romo's hands. To put the
game
out of reach.
That's the other thing. And as I heard, you know, talk radio around here talking about this a lot yesterday, and, you know, why would anybody care whether or not Jason Garrett took the ball out of Tony Romo's hands? First of all, if you're looking at it from a Patriots perspective, you have to be happy that that happened. I do question the play calling.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think that's the reason why.
I question the play calling, but had it been you, would you have done the same thing? I mean, would you have taken the ball out of Romo's hands? I think Romo, to me, Romo is the guy, he's hit or miss. There's no middle ground. Mm. So he can't, if you take the bat out of his hands, how does he swing?
Well,
borrow a baseball phrase, right?
Well,
so don't you have to throw the ball downfield in that last drive, knowing that, you know, the best defense is going to be an offense to keep the ball out of Brady's hands?
Yeah, that's the point I'm making is that they got scared because of Romo having failed to do that for the Cowboys in previous games. I think Garrett got gun shy with his gunslinger and said, I can't count on you to win this game for us. And by winning the game, all you had to do was pick up a couple of first downs, run the clock down, and then even if you punt, you pin the Patriots deep with, you know, less than 30 seconds to go if you're you know, if you don't score or pick up another field goal or whatever. I think they got gun shy and said, you're our starting quarterback, but we don't trust you to win this game. So we're going to hand the ball off and hope we can pick up a first down that way and run down the clock. And they couldn't do it. So I think that should be factored into the equation as well, that here's a guy who was just a couple of years ago considered one of the top echelon quarterbacks in the league, and if you can't rely on him to win you a game, and we just saw the exact opposite on the other sideline when they gave the ball to their number 12 and said, win the game for us, and that's exactly what he did. You knew that was going to happen on that drive. They had the look from the first play. I didn't have any doubts, did you?
No.
That they were going to score on that drive?
No.
And not just score, but score 7?
No.
You didn't have that feeling with Romo, did you?
No, you didn't. You didn't. And I guess maybe that's why Jason Garrett did too. So why are we, I mean, why are talk show hosts,
if you're going to win a game
people,
like that,
why are they hammering Jason Garrett for making the play calls and taking the ball out of Romo's hands when basically we're just saying here we'd have done the same thing because we don't trust him?
I didn't say I would have done the same thing. I'm saying I think that's why Garrett did what he did. I'm not saying I would have done that. I would have probably done something a little differently. I would have at least maybe thrown the ball once.
I certainly would have thrown the ball once. There's no doubt about that.
They didn't.
Well, I know. I would have at least tried on first down to see if you could move it up the field, get a first down, and then I'd start pounding the ball. You know, but if it doesn't work, then, yeah, I can understand why you'd want to take the air out of the ball,
no,
because you want to run the clock.
And you have a timeout. You talk to your quarterback and say, look, here, look at the scoreboard. Look at the time left on the clock. Don't do anything ridiculous. Just reinforce it right before he goes out. Just tell him, look, if it's not there, take the sack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just don't make any stupid mistakes. Don't throw the ball willy-nilly. have a couple of plays ready to go. You know, when you go, you go in the huddle sometimes, the quarterback has three plays or however many plays he has called, and he says, here's the sequence we're going to run. You can get back to the huddle quickly, do this. You know, I mean, they didn't seem to have the confidence in him to do that.
No, there's no way. They did not. And I think ultimately that's what cost Dallas the game.
That's what I'm saying.
If they'd had a little bit more of a proactive, a little bit more gambler's
foot on the neck.
Yes, foot on the neck.
Foot on the throat.
Which is something we've criticized the Patriots for not having as well. Mm-hmm. We've criticized the Patriots for not being able to put their foot on the jugular of the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys, it came back to bite them. They let Tom Brady stay in the game. They gave Brady a chance to win the game, and he did. He did. And that's why Tom Brady's going to go down probably as one of the two or three best quarterbacks all time.
Yeah.
Because of his ability to win games.
And nobody in that stadium, I don't think, on either sideline had any doubt what was going to happen.
No. No. You knew. I mean, I think we all knew that a field goal was going to get worked out of this. Now, admittedly, before that last drive here, Tom had a subpar day.
Sure.
He was missing his targets. Now, I don't know so much if it was the coverage that Dallas was providing as he was just missing his spots. Now, I know on a couple of occasions there were poor routes run, but all in all, I think Tom Brady had a subpar day.
For 57 and a half minutes.
Yes. For 57 and a half minutes, he was not the usual Tom Brady. Now, we said earlier this year, especially after the Buffalo game, we said, well, all right, here's what you have. You have a team that is still pretty good, but when Tom has a subpar day, all bets are off. And on top of that, when you commit turnovers, you can lose the game. Well, Tom had a subpar day, so it's his second subpar game in six that he's had this year. Granted, he's had some dynamite games. We've seen that. So I'm not going to completely hammer him here. I'm not going to completely nitpick on him here. But after all, this is Nitpick Tuesday, and yeah. So I'm going to nitpick a little bit. So excuse me for that. Right? That's what we're supposed to do here.
You made up the rules. It's your show.
Well, you know, it's just kind of what, you know, over 11 years, this is how the show has evolved. You know, people just like to, they keep liking to little, just pick on things on Tuesdays, even though we've had 2 days to basically talk about it. So that's how Nitpick Tuesday developed. But, you know, Tom had a subpar day, and the Patriots turned the ball over. That is recipe for unmitigated disaster. Add to that, you've actually got a very talented football team on the other side of the field that you're playing against. You know, comparable to say a Jets or a Giants or, you know, somebody who's really good, a Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe even a Baltimore. So this is going to be, I'm going to be whacking them on one and stroking them on another here. Obviously for 57
mark tape. Yeah, there's nobody there to mark tape. Barry, can you mark tape?
57 and a half minutes, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Last 2.5 minutes, he's exactly what we thought he was. Mm-hmm. And where's Dennis Green when you need him?
Yeah.
They were what we thought they were. But, you know, it was getting there that was sort of mind-boggling. That was sort of like, you know, it made you want to pull the, you know, your hair out a little bit. Fact is,
I couldn't
that,
do that.
No, you couldn't. And I can. But... You opened it up. I was going to let it go, but no, you had to open it up.
No, you weren't. I could see that smile on your face.
No, I wasn't going to do that because, you know, you and I, we do digress quite a bit on this show. I was going to step right through that and not even mention it, but then you set me up, so I had to hit it. Okay. Wow. This is so disjointed. It's Tuesday, right?
It's a bye week, man.
It's a bye week. So, the point that I'm getting to here, let me see if I can finish my point here. The point is that while Brady was horrible for, not horrible. Let's just say he was merely human for 57 and a half minutes. The last 2.5 minutes, we had very little doubt that he wasn't going to take the ball down the field and do something with it. Put him at least in position to kick a field goal, even in spite of the fact that he had played fairly poorly in the first 57 and a half minutes.
He came close to getting that Brady face that we've seen in Super Bowl 42,
yes.
And in the last couple of playoff games.
Yes.
That slumped shoulders, woe is me, head drooping look that he gets when things aren't going well.
Correct.
He came close to that Sunday.
Correct.
Especially after he threw that second interception where his arm got hit and it was really just an ill-advised throw to begin with. Even if he hadn't gotten his arm hit, it might have been picked off. But then they got the ball back with that much time, and I think that woke him up and said, look, hey, the defense certainly gave them a boost with that. pushing the Cowboys back when they tried to run the ball on those plays at the end. And I think that woke up the team. You got to give the defense credit for coming up big in that situation.
Interesting. All right, so here's what we have then today. The Cowboys, gave the Patriots a great battle. Obviously, it didn't work out for them. It turned out great for the Patriots. The fact is, the Patriots get their 5-1 record going into the bye week, which happens to come right at the smack dab middle of the season. They've played 10 games, counting the preseason. They have 10 left to play. So all is good in Patriot Nation. Now, as far as practice is concerned today in the practice report, mm-hmm. we also have some better news to talk about as well, if you haven't heard.
I was out there.
Yes, I know. Which is why I'm kind of leading right. you into it. This is called me giving you the softball.
Well, you said if I hadn't heard, I'm the one who's
talking to others that might be listening in besides you. I know a lot of times it's just you and I talking to each other here.
And Barry's
behind the glass,
behind
yes.
the glass today.
Right.
Good news with three players who were on the PUP. Falk, Brace, Dedrick.
All back.
Suited up. So their clock
is ticking.
Has officially started.
Now, they have, for everybody that may not know.
3 weeks.
Right.
From today.
They have 3 weeks from today. And the Patriots have this roster exemption, if you will, for those three men mm-hmm. for the next 3 weeks. So 3 weeks from today, the Patriots have to decide.
Well, yeah, at the most, 3 weeks from
at
today.
The
not
most.
Exactly.
They can
do
decide
it at
beforehand.
Any time. They can do it at any time in the next 3 weeks.
But they have up to 3 weeks from today, 21
Correct.
Days, to decide whether or not they can be a part of the active roster or they're put on IR. Right?
Yeah.
Which means they'd
yep.
be gone for the rest of the year.
Gone for the rest of the year, yep.
Now, of those three, Kevin Falk, Brandon Dedrick, and
Ron Brace.
Thank you, Ron Brace. Who's most likely to stick?
I think at least one of the D-linemen, just because of depth issues.
Absolutely.
And Falk.
You think Falk will stick too?
Well, only because we haven't. At this point, I had expected to see Shane Vereen in a lot more than the role that we've seen him, which is virtually nothing.
We haven't seen him at all.
Right. And I thought with Falk being on the PUP, you had Green, Ellis, Woodhead, and the two rookies, Vereen and Ridley. I thought for sure all four of them were going to have key roles in the rotation in these first six games.
We haven't seen him.
And we've only really seen three. We've only seen Woodhead, Ridley, and Green, Ellis.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So I'm very surprised at Ridley's absence. So that can only lead me to believe that Falk may have a chance to come back, and they might have to do something with Vereen.
Would they IR him?
Well, they'd have to.
Yeah,
I think in order to keep him around, because you're not going to cut him.
No, it's a second round draft pick.
Yeah,
no,
so they'd have to IR him.
Because
I don't think they have room to keep five running backs.
No, I don't think so either.
With all the D-linemen they
need. It will come down to whether or not who's going to be able to contribute to the team. Is it going to be Kevin Falk or is it going to be Shane Vereen? And whichever one they deem going forward here is going to be able to contribute to the team, that's the one that gets put on active roster, and the loser in this battle gets put on injured reserve. It's that simple.
Yeah. And I just was expecting that since you don't know what you have in Vereen, that they would do kind of what they did with Ridley, which was when they needed those between the tackles carries, they put Ridley in. And when you needed, sort of your third down out of the backfield receptions, you would
Vereen would get the
mix Vereen and Woodhead mm-hmm. in those situations. And it's always been Woodhead. I'm just a little surprised that they didn't at least give themselves the option to say, all right, now what we know we have with the rookie and we've got our experienced veteran, what are we going to do?
Could we see possibly Falk returning punts rather than Welker to preserve Welker for the stretch run?
Or
maybe even kick returns?
Not out of the question, but I think Falk kind of relinquished those duties a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I know.
For a reason.
Right.
So
in order to utilize his experience. You know, that's the number one. Number two, to make sure that, you know, Welker stays relatively healthy by, you know, basically keeping him from getting hit extra.
Taylor Price is active every game.
Yeah,
give him a chance?
That's another issue. Where the hell is Taylor Price?
I don't know.
They don't use him.
I don't know. He's dressed. He's there. He's available. He
got into the game on Sunday.
Yeah, but Not in the way that made any difference.
They don't
really
use him. They just don't use him. Flat out. All right. I would concur. I would say that, you know, I think Falk is probably lining himself up for a return, an active return. Even though it might very well be his last year, I think the Patriots feel like they could use him, and it'd be a good way for everybody to part company, so to speak. Mm. But I think they feel like they probably have some mileage left in him. And I would think that, they'll probably use at least a couple of these weeks to decide which one between Brace and Dedrick is going to be most effective for this stretch run.
And that's a tough call because they both are sort of, I mean,
they both have their moments.
Yeah, they've had moments, but they've also had what are you doing moments.
Yeah.
You know,
both been very frustrating players, especially Brace. You don't expect as much for a guy who's a free agent like Dedrick. But
he was a seventh-round pick.
Excuse me, seventh-round pick. You're right. I knew low, one or the other.
Yeah, but still, but yeah, virtually.
Brace was a third-round pick, so, right?
Second.
Was he second?
He was the second-round pick. That was 2009 when they had four second-round picks.
Yep, you're right. Absolutely. Far be it from me to question you.
No. I'm wrong sometimes.
Often.
Rarely.
No, that's right. So, all right, so you have a second-round pick versus a seventh-round pick. The natural inclination is going to say, well, you probably want to see what give Brace as much rope as you can before you have to hang him, right?
Yeah, that'd be my guess is it'd be more likely Brace would get the benefit of the doubt on the call.
That's what I'm thinking, unless you just totally get outclassed. The other thing I wanted to jump at today, and by the way, feel free to jump in. Sometimes we get going here and we fail to bring it up. Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us here in the program. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Facebook page is up. If you're not a friend on Facebook, you can find me, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Submit the friend request. We'll accept that, and then you can message me. You can chat, and you can post on the Facebook page. And by the way, whoever it was, and I'm sure it was somebody, maybe it was even harmless, somebody hacked my Facebook page this weekend.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
You're not joking around?
I'm not joking. Somebody hacked it. So I would really appreciate it that whoever that might have been, that you might just like, you know, consider what you're doing for a second, because you'd really be kind of like spoiling it for everybody else. I don't keep anything on my Facebook page that, frankly, you could benefit from anyway. I mean, I have some family things, I have some work things, and I have a lot of Patriots things on my Facebook page. So I don't really keep anything that would be considered like, you know, cashable income. So don't do it, because if it happens again, I'm going to take the Facebook page off. I'm going to take it offline.
What sort of action did they take in hacking?
Nothing. I tried to log in from a remote location, and I couldn't do it. Kept saying that, you know, my password was not effective, wasn't usable.
Yeah.
So I contact Facebook, find out, and they say, well, here's your contact information we have. Phone number I have never seen before in my life.
Really?
Email address I have never seen before in my life. It was a Yahoo email address.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's not me. So they say, well, then you've been hacked. Yeah. So, you know, I'm actually pretty open about all this stuff. You know, I tend to trust people more than I don't trust them, but now I've got a wary eye out to it. And trust me when I say this, I've taken precautions now. So if it happens again, Facebook just won't be a part of the discussion anymore. Can't be, because I just don't want to have to go through that
again.
That's
a damn shame.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just because somebody out there feels like they can get something for nothing, and or they want to make life miserable for me, and what did I do? You know, so at any rate. But I am still I'm still accepting friend requests.
You don't have
I hope we can, you know, I hope we can continue to chat on Facebook.
You don't have any enemies either. I mean, except for the state of Oklahoma.
Or my ex-wives.
They live in Oklahoma?
No, although they belong there probably. Kind of windy in Oklahoma. Why is it so windy? See, Strippers wants me to continue with the joke, but I'm not going to.
Just put it on your Facebook page.
All right. I'll give you the joke anyway. Why is this so windy in Oklahoma? Because Texas sucks and Nebraska blows. That's why. Okay? That's what Oklahomans say. All right? There you go. I said it. There. God's going to strike me down. Because you know why the sun sets burnt orange, right? Because God's a longhorn. There you go. See? I had to balance this out a little bit, Eric. Because if I might have some Texas people listening going, sacrilege, we're going to take his degree from him. We're going to revoke his Texas citizenship. Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that. So, anyway. All right. So, we're digressing here. Email. Nitpicks from Sunday. I know you got him, and I just got through nitpicking on Tom Brady, and actually, that was my major nitpick for Sunday's game, was Brady's performance, except for the last 2.5 minutes. I figured nobody was going to look back at the 57.5 minutes that he stunk. But because of the last 2.5, all is forgiven. And I understand that, and I don't disagree with that. But I am going to nitpick. So there's a big one for you. The other thing I wanted to talk about today, the trade deadline. It's coming up in approximately an hour and,
hour and
30
a half.
Minutes,
yep.
Right?
90 minutes to go.
There have been a lot of rumors out there. We'll probably go over some of them. But what I want from our listeners today is, who would you trade for and why? Is it conceivable? We sort of touched on this a few weeks ago. You know, if you can mm-hmm. make a, you know,
you
make
pick,
a move,
yeah,
you could pick yeah, a player yeah. that you could bring in.
Right.
Well, this has a little bit more immediacy and I think a little bit more legitimacy
right,
today.
It has to happen by the end of the show.
It has to happen by the end of the show today.
Or that's it.
Right.
It's not happening.
Now, the big one that I've seen, and I know we've already had several people email in, not only in this show, but also on PFW, is about Asante Samuel.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you right off the bat, would you?
Yes. Just from would I take the player? Yes. I don't know what the Eagles are going to ask for, but yes, I would love to have the
you
player.
You always
back.
Have to wonder that if a player is being made available, why? So, why do you feel like the Eagles are making Samuel available?
That's a great question, John, because I don't want to think that they've already given up on the season because, as we mentioned earlier in the show, everybody is in that NFC East race,
mm-hmm.
even the Eagles, who are 2-4. They're in it just as much as the 4-2 Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to think that it's because they've given up. And, you know, if I know Andy Reid, I mean, I don't know him that well, but, you know, what I know of him, I can't believe he would give up after 6 games. I can only think that they are maybe tired of his act. He has been one of the more colorful players in the locker room, especially of late. I don't know if you saw the thing where a couple of weeks ago he locked the media out of the locker room
mm-hmm.
after practice. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
And in so doing, kind of left a couple of teammates out there,
mm-hmm.
including Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm.
Not on purpose, but it just he
just so happens that,
just
they,
so
were
happened
on the
that
outside.
They were late getting back and got locked
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
He's been that type of personality this year, and I think maybe they're just tired of it. Maybe they got Randy Mossed,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Randy Mossed,
like
yeah.
last year. They yeah. were tired of his act, and they said, you know what, it doesn't matter how good you are. Get
great cash, homie.
Yep.
It's the only thing I can think of, because I think Zant can still play.
Good way to put it. Yep, good way to put it. By the way, the Patriots have announced that they've re-signed Phillip Adams.
Phillip Adams, yeah.
Right?
Okay. For the umpteenth time this year.
Yeah. It's got to be, the third time? Is that
yeah.
Right?
And I'm waiting for the Ventrone release.
To come back
press
again?
Release, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was released
practice
yesterday.
Practice squad.
Practice squad probably back
Bill said
today.
There were going to be some practice squad transactions. And we know Phillip Adams doesn't have practice squad eligibility.
So that's why he's been re-signed.
So he's been. No, but I mean, he's signed to the active roster.
Active
but
roster,
Bill did
right.
say he had some practice squad moves to make. So I would imagine Ross Ventrone will be among them
all
when
right.
we do get. To find out.
Well, let's see what our friend Derek, University of Arizona, thinks about
potential class. Would
trades.
You please?
Yeah, really. What's up? No class
Jeez.
Today?
Okay, Scal.
He never has class, John.
Take a shot of me right away.
I took a shot at you at PFW in progress. This is just a follow-up shot.
Did you? I didn't listen live. I couldn't.
No, it was just the same shot.
I was in class, but I don't get out of class till 10:50.
You wrote in. So. You wrote into that show complaining about your class schedule. I said I don't know what he's complaining about. He never goes to class.
Ooh. Oh.
Too busy listening to us yap all afternoon.
No, he's got no afternoon classes because he's too busy probably walking the campus looking at the co-ed sunbathing. Right.
Well, I don't blame him for that.
Definitely.
I don't blame him for that one bit.
We just got a new puppy here at my apartment, so I've been. And taking that around and working out pretty well.
You are what a kind sly, of? Sly dog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sly dog, yeah.
What
puppy.
Kind of dog?
It's a mix. It's between, like, an American, or not an American, it's like a pit bull and, like, I think it's like an American bull. I don't think it's a bulldog. I can't remember the exact, it's my roommate, but it's been
pound rescue?
Out pretty well.
Is it a pound rescue?
No, it was one of our friends, friend of a friend, like, they're breeding and they had puppies and,
oh.
I don't know. Just worked out like $35. It was a good deal. So.
All right. Cool.
But enough about that. What I was going to call in.
That's a very good chick magnet you have there. That's good.
Yes, it is.
I know. It's perfect. But no, what I was going to say is when the Eagles signed Nnamdi Asamoah for the offseason,
yep.
and they acquired Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, the trade rumor started with Asante Samuel because Asamoah and DRC are both more pressed corners, and Samuel likes to play off his man. more. So they were saying, like, I remember reading cool things about how the Eagles wouldn't mind trading him because they're almost kind of conflicting styles. They'd rather have both corners be up or both corners be back, not one or the other. I don't know. Just kind of thought that might be relevant to the conversation, but.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I'd be interested in him. I mean, I've seen a few things about it. I wouldn't give up too much for him. Maybe a third rounder and Gary Guyton. I don't know. I know Guyton's been thrown out there a couple of times because the Eagles have a linebacker need.
I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up any active players. If you want picks, that's fine. But I don't think I'm giving. I wouldn't give up any players.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think you can afford to with this defense right. at this point.
Exactly.
I mean, that's fine. I just don't think. I think Gary Guyton. I think he's offered some stuff, but I think he's been abused a lot. And I like Dane Fletcher. I like what he adds a little bit, but. I know with, you know, Mayo's injury and how the defense is, it is a little bit of a risk, but I wouldn't give up more than the third probably for him.
That's safe, yeah.
That's just my, I don't know, when you see ridiculous things like Palmer getting, you know, traded for 2-1.
Yeah, that, by the way, yeah,
that's the Raiders.
The Raiders, first of all, just because Mr. Davis has passed away doesn't mean that the idiocy has left the Oakland organization.
I guess not.
You know, I understand.
How Raiders fans.
Well, I understand Derek, why they've done that because their backs are against the wall. They need something. They're certainly not going to run Terrell Pryor out there. So, actually, I think picking up Carson Palmer is a great move, but I think they gave up way too much.
They gave up.
I mean, I would have given up A1, maybe 1-1, but I don't think I'd have given up any more than that, to be honest with you.
Well, now you're looking at Pryor, who they're talking about him maybe moving to receiver or tight end. You know, after they do this, just like kind of initial like speculation, you know, and they trade up 2 number ones. They now have no first, second, third, or fourth round pick this draft. You know, they two number ones is just ridiculous. I mean, for someone who hasn't played the season and has been awful for the past couple of years,
I agree.
I wouldn't, you know, I don't know. And plus, not to mention, they're, you know, Jason Campbell, you know, said he can come back in 6 weeks, and they're paying him $4.5 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, but they I mean. They must not obviously care too much about Jason Campbell as a long-term option either. If they're going to,
yeah, but I mean, can you say that about Carson Palmer? Do you think they feel confident that he's a long-term option too? I guess if they give up 2 number ones,
I would think
maybe
so.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, but this is the Raiders. You know, they might have different logic than the rest of us.
Yeah, no, I agree. Anyway, to the Patriots game, you know, I was pretty happy with you know, the defensive line. You know, the defensive line played a great game. I like Kyle Love a lot. I think he's developing like a little bit every game. And, you know, Haynesworth was triple teamed on a play, and that was one of the plays that Andre Carter got a sack. And, you know, I think the defensive line was good. I thought Brandon Spike stood out well. He played better. And, you know, James Ahedebo, we talked about him last week, and John, you know, I thought he played well again. You know, he didn't really stand out in a negative way. Like
no, but I thought he was pretty solid. I thought Ahedebo was okay.
I continue to be pretty pleased with him, you know, and so overall I feel pretty happy, although I really liked how they were doing some stunts and twists on the defensive line, you know, I really liked that.
I would tend to agree with that one.
Yeah, I think Ahedebo's had a couple of decent games. I think I'm not overly thrilled with him or Barrett as the second option next to Chung, but we have no choice, really, at this point.
Well, my point last weekend, Eric, or last week, Eric, and you missed it, but was, you know, just based off how bad safety play has been next to Chung with Barrett and Brown, I was pretty pleased with the way Ahedebo played.
Sure.
Except for that, you know, that corner route touchdown he led up to San Antonio Holmes along with Kyle Arrington last weekend, but I didn't think he stood out in that bad of a way this weekend. I thought he was still making some decent tackles.
Yeah,
he was doing all right. You know, and that's my biggest nitpick for the game, by the way, John, was tackling. Absolutely terrible tackling, even from Devin McCourty on that lower end Robinson, mm-hmm. you know, play at the sideline. You know, McCourty, I put as one of the best tackling corners in the NFL, in my opinion. I think he's a great corner. It reminds me a lot of Charles Woodson and that kind of aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he's missing tackles, and I don't know. I was really disappointed with that because that's just a basic football fundamental, you know. I mean, so I'm hoping they work on that over the bye week.
Or even saw Haynesworth miss an egregious tackle in the backfield.
Sure did.
Early on.
Yep.
Sure did. Yeah.
But they didn't really get burned too badly.
Key about that, and I'm glad you brought that up, Derek, because yesterday I was listening to Coach Belichick on with the EI guys and in his regular Monday appearance, and when Glenn Ordway asked him specifically about the missed tackles.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. It sounded to me like he avoided the question right off the bat. He just flat out went right over and he said, you know, he asked if something of the missed tackles were a byproduct of not as much pad work because of the new collective bargaining agreement. The guys aren't required to be in full pads as much as they had before. There's not as much full contact practices. And was it a byproduct of that? Maybe some of the reason that, you know, the tackling has been subpar. And Bill stepped right over it. Didn't answer the question. In fact, it was so egregious that my own son, we were listening to it on the radio coming back from school yesterday, and he's like, answer the question! And I'm like, no, he's not going to answer the question. He never does. Why would you expect Bill Belichick to answer the question? He won't. Which means, of course, you have to learn how to read between the lines. And very much, yes, 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 there's a reason why the tackling is poor. It's because they're not working on it as much because they're not in full pads as much. I mean, Logic 101 is going to tell you that if you know anything about football.
And maybe you guys have the answer to this. I don't know. Maybe Eric does, or maybe you do too, John. I'm not trying to discredit you either. But, I mean, how many full pads practices can you have? Is it 14?
14
or 10 or something like that?
You can have 14 for the season, and 11 of them have to come in the first 11 weeks.
Right? 11 in the first 11 weeks. So that's basically one a week for the first 11 weeks
of
the season.
You can spread that out however you want.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to have three during a week, that's great, but you're going to run into where you're going to run out of them.
Right.
So that's why I'm sure most teams are,
I hate that, by the way.
Most teams are probably adhering to probably one full pads practice a week. I would say that's probably pretty close to what you'll see most teams do. And then three over the last, what is that, 6 weeks of the season?
Seven. 6 weeks, yeah, because it's week 11.
Yeah, week 11.
6 weeks.
Right. So you got three then over the last 6 weeks, which is ridiculous.
And then you can only have, what is it, one a week in the playoffs?
I think
so. I believe that's
the rule. That's basically what they,
as far as you go in the playoffs.
Right. So, you know, Bill's vantage point here is that if I say that, yeah, it's a problem, then it's going to be a headline tomorrow, you know, around the country. Mm. You know, and so it's going to be him attacking the CBA, and then he's going to get a call from Roger Goodell, and the players are going to get upset. And so I understand completely why he's avoiding the question. But you have to learn with Bill Belichick that just because he's avoiding the question doesn't mean he's not answering the question. You follow me?
Yeah, no, I'm right with you.
And there's a reason behind the tackling being poor. They don't have enough time to work on it. It's that simple.
But even when they did have the time to work on it, John, in previous seasons, they didn't spend time working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a steady decline in the overall tackling quality in this league over the last, I'd say, 10, 15 years, if not more. It's been a steady decline, but it's gotten worse, progressively worse every year, and this isn't helping matters at all.
Right.
Sorry, Derek, go ahead.
No, that's a good point, Eric. The other thing I was going to say was, now, do you guys think that when you have all these new guys on a team, you know, and there's a lot, we talked about the roster turnover earlier in the year, John, and we had, you get a lot of acquisitions, and you know, all these guys haven't really played with each other before, and, you know, they need time to gel. Well, do you think that we saw this week that they're learning to gel and they're improving, or do you think that it's still going to take some time and, you know, they're going to step back, or do you think they're going to build off this performance and just kind of see where your thoughts are on that?
It is a good question, and I'd like to think that we've seen progress over the last 2 weeks in the Jets game and in this game on the defense, and I would like to think that that will continue. I hope they don't take any steps back, because you can't get much further back than 32nd in the league in defense.
No,
overall.
No.
So the fact that they've made a couple of steps forward, I'm encouraged by that a little bit. I want to temper my enthusiasm a bit, because I'm just hoping these two games weren't an aberration. But the fact that Dallas has such talented players, perhaps some of the most talented they'll see offensively all year, I think is a good sign. And I do think it's a sign of progress, Derek. I just don't want to get. We've been burned enough by them before.
Dallas is a really potent offense, you know. So holding them the way the Patriots did is pretty impressive, regardless of you know, their play calling, which was made a lot of by
right.
Boston media.
But
you know?
The point, we talked about this on the other show, and the point I made was last year the Cleveland defense did a great job against this New England offense. That wasn't a sign that Cleveland had completely turned things around and was becoming a great a playoff quality team.
Right.
That was just an aberration for that week. I'm hoping that that's not the case with this team. I'm hoping that because they had a good game against the Jets, followed it up with a better game against the Cowboys, that's a trend in the positive direction. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm tempering my enthusiasm, but that's my cautious optimism about it.
Yeah, and one last comment before I let you guys go. And I really liked the, you know, say what you want about Brandon Spikes. I really like the, you know, the kind of swagger and attitude it brings to the defense. I think the defense really needs more of that. You know, just the way he's, you know, just the energy he brings, I think, you know, that added some camaraderie for everyone. And I just kind of thought that it kind of built their confidence up. And I think that when you watch some other good defenses around the NFL, they have that, and the Patriots hadn't had that for a while.
Well, because
and
other defenses.
Maybe he'll lead some other people into that.
Well, so, I think that comes with making plays.
Yeah.
And if you're not making plays, you don't feel confident. Just ask Devin McCourty. But Spikes had made a few plays, and he got the team riled up. I agree with you. But if you notice before then, you weren't really seeing him do that because they weren't making plays. There wasn't any reason for him to celebrate. It's kind of a catch-22. The two are symbiotic, but you're right. They do need a swagger, but they have to make plays and have to earn that first, I think.
All right, Eric, you can't be using words like symbiotic. If I'm not going to class, I don't understand what these big words mean.
Well, get off the phone and get your ass to class, then.
That'll be the word of the day. we have our word of the day, symbiotic.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Good talking to you as always.
Yeah, good stuff, Derek.
Your
appreciate
dog needs
that, buddy.
To go for a walk, too, so take him with you.
Yeah, go see some co-eds.
Yeah.
Go visit, right?
Yeah.
All right, that's good stuff. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jump aboard. Give us your nitpick. Give us your thoughts. Give us your trade suggestions as well. We have now an
Clock's
hour.
Ticking. Yep.
Yeah, an hour and 13 minutes.
All right.
You know, to make a trade in the NFL. So if Asante Samuel is out there, the Eagles are making him available. Would you bring him back to New England? Do you feel like he could make a difference? Perhaps bolstering the secondary somewhat? And what would you give up for him? Is there another player out there you feel could be available? And would you bring him back? And what would you bring him back for? This is your chance to do a little GMing here of your own. You know? After all, it is trade deadline. So we can talk about that as well. Plus your nitpicks. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email us webradio@patriots.com and Facebook. John Rook, again, is the name. Rooke. Submit the friend request. You can also follow on Twitter.
And don't hack.
And don't hack, please. The Twitter address is @jrooke, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. And thanks to the new tweeps who have come aboard lately. I want to give a shout-out to all of them. I appreciate your being aboard and tuning in, as the case may be, via the World Wide Web. Let me get a couple of emails in here. Cavern in Gainesville checks in. Says, Mr. Rook, John, and Kevin. First of all, Cav, Mr. Rook is my father, but that's okay. my nitpick is one I never thought I'd have to make. Our interior line, primarily Logan Mankins, has stunk at times the past 2 weeks. Yes, I understand that we face two defenses with some of the most exotic schemes and blitzes, but I can't remember a time since the 07 Super Bowl where Brady has faced so much pressure up the middle. Do you all think that Mankins is having to help Connolly so he's losing leverage with his own man, or what seems to be the issue? I think that's a very good question.
Yeah, and one that I haven't...
I think we have to go back and look at how
those plays developed.
I think we'd have to look at it, to be honest with you, Cameron. Yeah. He says, I missed Eric's practice report. Was Vollmer there? Let's hope our line can improve.
He was.
Okay. Now, he practiced last week, but then was a late scratch. You want to hit it?
Yeah, he did practice last week, was a late scratch. So was Julian Edelman. All of those guys, both of those guys were out there. The only missing guys... And the first name I'm going to mention might sound important, Tom Brady.
Right, but I think we understand.
I think because it's a bye week, and because I don't know if you saw this during the game, John, but I hadn't seen this in the game in a while.
I know where you're going.
And maybe ever.
I know where you're going.
He had his elbow
wrapped
in either ice or some sort of heat device.
Yes.
Couldn't tell. But it was probably ice.
Yes.
But
sure was ice.
Now, it didn't affect his play, obviously, because this was well before the final drive and, you know, seemed fine throwing all those passes. And even Fred mentioned this. He celebrated with a rather vehement fist punch to the air after he threw that pass. And if that elbow was really bothering him, he probably would have thought twice about doing that, unless it was a spur-of-the-moment thing and he, you know, aggravated something. But he was in the locker room today, didn't have any sort of implements on him like he sometimes does before practice. He'll sometimes ice the shoulder and the elbow before practice. Didn't have any of that. Obviously, he wasn't practicing, so that wasn't really a need to do that. Just something to note. Not anything to be concerned about, just something to note. And I think just because it's a bye week, that's probably the explanation. They also were, before I get to the other absentees, they were having sort of a scrimmage, a blue-white scrimmage today, where some of the offensive players donned blue jerseys, some of the defensive players donned white jerseys, and they split the squad up evenly, half and half. Ryan Mallett was quarterbacking the white squad. Brian Hoyer had the blue squad all to himself. We weren't obviously able to watch any of this, but we could tell because that's how they came out to practice, and they were wearing different jerseys than they normally wear, and they actually stretched separately, blue and white split up. So a little bit of a fun atmosphere. They were in shells. They weren't, you know,
I was just going to ask.
We weren't going to be doing any any heavy hitting.
Was today going to be a full contact day?
No. Okay. Not at all. Just something lighthearted to probably have a little more fun at practice as opposed to go out there and drill and scheme and do all this. It was more
this
for
being
fun,
an
I
off
think.
Week.
Yeah.
They won't have a full contact practice this week.
Oh, God, no. And there's only two. This was one of two.
Right.
They'll practice tomorrow, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, they're off.
Off, yeah.
And that's CBA mandated.
So that'll save full contact for another week.
Right. It will.
We're counting them up, right?
Absolutely are. And I have to do an accurate count, but I don't even think we're at six yet.
Really?
Yeah, because I think there was a week where they didn't have any full pads.
So you think
I have to go and count
five
later,
full pad practices?
I think we're at five. I'm going to have to go and check for sure. I'll
Which
let you know tomorrow.
Which means five down, nine to go. You have 14.
For the season, yeah.
For the season,
but
right?
But I think you have to look at week 11 first because you have to get those first 11 in at that time. So they have.
Oh, you got to get 11
in. You got to get 11 in before week 11.
Before 11.
No matter how you spread them out.
So five down, that means they've got six to go then, and we're going, and this is week seven. So by the time they come back, week eight. So you have six more to do in 4 weeks. You'd have six to get in.
Yeah, 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Six full contact, full pad practices in 4 weeks is
what
the Patriots
so
will have.
They're saving some of those for the
meat of the
schedule
season.
Here.
Right.
So other absentees, Dane Fletcher. Not sure why. Matt Light, who was hurt at the end of the game. I don't know if you noticed. He was hobbling around a little bit. I think when he collided with DeMarcus Ware, who was on the ground for a while, too, at the end of there. Albert Haynesworth, and I know I missed somebody. Rookie Rozai Dowling, also not out there.
He's
becoming you mentioned frustrating players. He's becoming
very
frustrating player.
Yeah, very disappointing.
So you had five players absent today. Not unusual for a bye week that a veteran like Brady would get some time off. There have been bye weeks when I remember as many as a dozen or more players weren't on the field.
Right.
Mostly veterans, not all injury-related. So I wouldn't get carried away right now. Next Tuesday when they get back at it, because they will be back at it next Tuesday for a longer preparation week than usual.
Yeah, it's basically the schedule this week is
today and tomorrow.
And then they're done.
That's it. Done.
Right?
Done until next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. So that's their week off, so to speak. Right.
And so next week they'll have four and a half days if you count the walkthrough on Saturday, but they have four full days of work to prep for the Steelers game.
All right. Sean in Salt Lake City, Utah. Sean, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, bud. What's up?
Sean.
I can't give you a player, but I could tell you a position I would go after, a safety.
Okay.
Because as good as Patrick Chung is, he's not really a cover safety. I mean, he's really good on the run and other stuff, but he usually gets burnt out on coverage. What's your thought?
I think it's probably safe to say he's more of an in-the-box guy.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
He's more of a physical
closer
guy
to the
than
line
a cover
of scrimmage.
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, more of a physical presence.
A strong safety as opposed to a free safety type. Yeah.
Even though Bill doesn't like to use those
no,
terms
he doesn't.
With his safeties, that's
the
probably
safety's a safety, but
the way he plays yeah. is probably more like a strong safety.
I would agree with right. that. Yep.
And I have two other questions for you. One, do you think we should be that concerned about Haynesworth and Ocho?
Well, Haynesworth, no, because I think Haynesworth is following the plan that's been laid out for him. I know people want to start, you know, saying that maybe Albert Haynesworth is, and certainly Chad Ochocinco are quote unquote busts, which is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. First of all, for Haynesworth, he's doing exactly what the team has asked him to do. They're bringing him along slowly. They want him to be able to play.
And he's been hurt.
Yeah, and he
so
has been a little bit hurt. So they had to bring
him
along slowly. He's only played roughly 25% of plays at a good level. I think they're trying to build him up to where by the first part of December, maybe in the next, like, well, let's just put it this way. Maybe within the next 6 weeks that he can increase, you know, 25 plays to 50 plays. Somewhere around that,
yeah.
or 25% to 50%, where he's actually in there on half the defensive downs. That's what they want at Albert Haynesworth. If they get that, then he's absolutely giving them what they've asked him to give them. So Haynesworth is a little different from Ochocinco. As far as Ocho's concerned, I said that, you know, after 6 weeks, we'd have to reevaluate, or at least we would begin, let's say, the evaluation process of Ochocinco and Haynesworth. And while Haynesworth, I think, is on schedule, Ocho is clearly behind schedule now after 6 weeks. The fact is that with a guy like Brandon Lloyd, who is mentioned as a potential trade person for the Patriots, trade of interest before he went off to St. Louis yesterday, that should clue you in right there that the Patriots are looking or at least scouring to see if someone else might be out there. That they, too, are beginning to wonder whether or not Chad can be somewhat productive for the remainder of the season. I don't think they've given up on him. I think they would give up on him if somebody made themselves available, which obviously we'll know more in the next hour and 3 minutes here. But I just, you know, is he a bust? I hate using that word unless we're going beyond Lawrence Maroney or Darius Butler. But, no, I would say he's been disappointing, yes.
And a backhanded compliment yesterday from Nick Caserio, I thought, when asked directly about Ochocinco and said he's one of our best practice players.
Okay.
Oy, that's a lot of money to give to a guy who's only good in practice.
Mm-hmm. That is the ultimate backhanded.
Both of them, yeah. Even that I haven't been that impressed with Ocho, is neither of them we really need in the regular season. They were brought in for the playoffs.
I would say they were brought in more for the stretch run because this team has had, number one, last year we saw a lack of veteran leadership toward the end. Number two, and I think they feel like they needed that in the locker room. Number two, they wanted quality veteran depth toward the end of the year, which was also something that was lacking. And so I think they were hoping not only playoffs, but we're talking stretch run December primarily for those last games to kind of provide some leadership, if not the depth.
Last thing, and I know you guys will probably disagree with me, I kind of think it'd be best if we didn't bring Mayo back until after the Pittsburgh game. And the reason I say that is because the team seems to be gelling and people are actually having to do their job instead of having Mayo do everything. What's your thought on that?
Well, you bring him back as soon as he's healthy enough to come back, regardless of what the other players are doing. And I do take a little issue with the fact that the other players aren't doing their job because he's out there. A, he's not that great a player. And B, that's kind of an insult to the other 10 guys who are on the field with him, that they're just, oh, we're going to sit back. Gerard Mayo's on the field. I absolutely disagree with that.
I think if he's ready to play, he needs to come back. He came back to practice last Friday. Clearly, you know, he was out there again today,
yep.
But that was because they wanted him to buy some more time, plus with the off week, to make sure he's completely healthy. That was a good move. If you want to bring him back and try him out at practice, you know, inactive him for the game, I think that was a perfect move for the Patriots to make. He will be active, and he will be back in the lineup for Pittsburgh unless something happens between now and next week.
Yeah, now I also don't want them to pull a Sebastian Vollmer and rush him back before
he's
ready.
And they may have done that with Vollmer. That may have happened. I'm not willing to say it did happen. It may have happened.
All signs point to that, though.
So,
alrighty, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, you betcha. Thanks, Sean. Yeah, that was another
good point.
Rushing
us along here. Well, he's got to go take a break.
Like
apparently,
sounded like he needed to get back to doing his doing. The boss is probably staring down his. What are you doing over there? Who are you talking to? You know, we need to have a boss button, by the way, for Patriots.com, don't we? Don't we need to have a boss
How would that
button?
Work?
Well, you know, have you ever gone online during the NCAA basketball tournament? And tried to watch the streams of the basketball games.
Oh, so that your computer?
Yeah, so you're watching the game, you know, maybe you got your headphones in or whatever, and you're listening to it, and all of a sudden the boss comes up and asks you a question.
Right, right,
there's
right.
a button on the website that just says boss.
Yeah.
And you hit the button and it immediately goes to a spreadsheet.
Spreadsheet that may have nothing at all to do with what you're
nothing
actually
to do with what you're doing, but it immediately goes to a spreadsheet with all kinds of numbers and it covers up the video of the basketball game, which is a brilliant idea, by the way.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Why can't they just make it pull up your desktop, whatever's behind your video monitor?
I don't know. You might have something on your desktop that you don't want the boss to see either. I don't know. But I think it's
you got a lot of problems then if you have all these things to hide.
I know. But we realize, you know, hey, we're all doing things on the internet that you probably shouldn't be doing when you're at work.
Like hacking people's Facebook pages.
Yes, like that. Damn it. Like that. That's exactly right. So, I don't know. We ought to talk to the webmaster about that, Kev. I mean, a little boss button, you know? That would be good. Maybe we, you know, suggestion of the playbook.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
We could have an alarm that goes with it and all sorts of good things.
That's a good idea. We should do, we could, you know, dolly it up a little bit, right?
It'd be funny if you were somehow able to configure a way that, you know, if the boss was coming, you'd, like, you know, pull the fire alarm in your office building. Everyone had to leave.
Oh, that would be good. And then you could stay.
Be interesting. That way nobody will
make
catch
you. We'll make you the fireman in charge in your office building.
We actually had a fire alarm go off down here, Rook, probably 2 weeks ago.
Really?
We had one during training camp, actually. Andy and I almost got stuck in here. Somebody actually came to that window, that door with the window on it.
And said, get out.
Looked in, saw Andy and I here in the middle of a podcast.
In my back.
And just kept going.
And, of course, I couldn't see them.
Didn't tell
us,
hey, there's a fire alarm, you got to move, whatever, just look.
Yeah, we would have.
So if the building had been burning,
here.
You would have fried.
We would have been in here,
The three of us would have gone down.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, hey, the show must go on, brother. That's all I can tell you.
The show would have ended right there.
Silence.
Just like my segment on this show today.
Yes, sir, I know.
It's 3 o'clock already.
It was good to have you.
Thanks, man.
It's good to have you on a Tuesday. Are you back on Wednesday?
And Thursday.
Oh, my goodness.
All 3 days this week.
Well, that's
okay,
just
used to it.
You'll be here for Game Show Wednesday tomorrow, though. That'll be exciting.
Oh, are we doing that? That's right.
Yes.
Well, are we playing Dead or Alive? Or did we decided?
Dead or Alive will be one of the games. We're going to try to play a couple of different
games.
Yeah,
I'm going to download some fun sound effects, and we'll have fun with it.
We're going to have, Sports Dead or Alive.
Okay.
I think we're going to try to play a little match game. We might even try to do a little Sports Jeopardy if we get enough people to call in tomorrow.
All right.
So tomorrow is appointment listening. Okay. If you have never listened, or, you know, if you're like, oh, geez, I can't do this, I got to listen to the podcast, whatever, tomorrow's the day you need to listen live.
How are they going to know to do that if they're not listening?
Well, I'm telling them now. So if you're listening to the podcast tonight, Wednesday's the day you need to listen live, if at all possible, because not only are we going to have fun playing game shows, but we're going to have, you know, some prizes to give away, too. So it's going to be good stuff.
All right.
Right? So we'll see.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I got to go study then.
Game show. Yeah, well, that's exactly right, because that's why tomorrow, I will say this, tomorrow, phone calls only. Okay? We're not accepting emails. We're not accepting anything on Facebook unless you just want to comment on the loser on the other end of the
telephone. Right, you call in.
But if you want to play.
And then you'll ask the question.
Right. That's exactly right. If you want to play, we're only accepting phone calls for the Wednesday show. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got cell phones now anyway. So what if it's a 508 area code?
We
got
to maintain
plans. Let's go.
We got to maintain some legitimacy and
Right, because anybody can get on their computer and Google.
Right.
That's not fair. We're not going to do that.
Nope.
We'll ask the question, and then we put the dun 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 dun. You know,
Jeopardy music.
Yeah, the Jeopardy music, whatever. And you know, then you got to answer. It's that simple. First one gonna get it right, and we move on. That's how we do it. We'll play. You know, we'll match you head to head against your competition from one part of the globe or another, and we'll see who wins. And then kind of maybe try to do it maybe NCAA tournament style. You win your match, you move on to the next round, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
See, we'll come up with some good stuff for tomorrow. So,
all right.
See you tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
All right. Let's get a break in here. 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. Nitpick. We haven't had any nitpicks. Are we that fat and sassy over a 20-16 win over the Dallas Cowboys? How about some nitpicks here? And trading deadline now is 56 minutes away. Who are you trading for and why? Who can help this football team? Let's do it in the playbook.
If you didn't know AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Hour number two, Patriots playbook, bye week Tuesday, which is also nitpick Tuesday as it normally is, as we discuss Patriots 20-16 win over the Dallas Cowboys here on Sunday. And what might have gone wrong in your eyes? It almost went all too wrong. But the Patriots were able to squeeze it out thanks to Tom Terrific and the touchdown pass to Aaron Hernandez from 8 yards out with 22 seconds left to give the Patriots the win and put them at 5-1 going into their
off week. So keep your keep the cards and letters coming, as the saying goes, kids. Webradio@patriots.com. And back to the phones we go, and here's Kat in Chicago. Kat, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm great, Kat. How's it going?
Pretty good. You know, it was a pretty tough win. So
yeah, it was. It was.
I'm pretty glad.
Well, you know, look, at this stage of the game, style points don't matter. You know, until you can kind of like, you know, get your issues ironed out, which I think we all realize the Patriots are trying to do, and they're going to have, you're going to have issues throughout the course of the year. But I think now we kind of know what this team is. And it is a team that, you know, certainly is strong on offense, but improving on defense. And that's the one thing I didn't really get a chance to kind of get to in the opening hour. But this team is definitely, it's made steps defensively over the last couple of weeks. You can't argue with that, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think I was listening to the earlier caller, and I think he's right. I think Ahedebo's been pretty solid. And I certainly like him over Barrett or Brown, because I think that they were really inconsistent when they played before. And at least he's not going to make any huge plays, I don't think. But at least he's consistent, I feel like.
Well, that's what we need. And honestly, Kat, I think that's what the coaching staff is looking for. And I think you can tell that because Sergio Brown, who was high on everybody's list coming out of camp, has fallen off the radar.
Right.
And so, you know, other than, you know, not being able to get out there and see practice all the time, Patriots coaches are just really disappointed in his performance overall, to the point where, you know, he didn't even make the dress list. So I have to figure that, you know, if the Patriots were going to make a move, if they could make a move at the trade deadline, it would still have to be for somebody probably in the secondary, if not safety altogether, because they've had to juggle so many different bodies back there.
Yeah. Well, I think my number one nitpicks are probably, I actually wasn't, I mean, I think Arrington stepping up, honestly, the only person I thought was really bad in the secondary this last game was McCourty.
Yeah.
I can't understand it. You know, he's playing so far off people. You know?
You're right.
He's running in man, and he's like 6-8 yards away.
You're right.
I can't understand that. You know?
By the way, where have you been all my life?
Well, I grew up in Connecticut. So
did you really?
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for you. Well, you sound like you know what you're talking about. I'm very impressed.
I love football.
Well, good for you. No, that's the way to be. I really, like I said, where have you been all my life? You know, that's a great observation, and that's been one of my nitpicks that I've kind of, you know, harangued on over the course of the first few weeks of the season. The fact that, you know, everybody in the secondary, particularly McCourty, looking like they were playing too soft, playing too far off of the receivers, not jamming them at the line. And I understand a little bit why they did that initially, because they were playing more man defense and they wanted to make sure they didn't get beat deep. Well, the problem is now is that teams aren't trying to get them deep. Teams are trying to get the coverage in front of them and then, you know, get the yards after the catch. And that's where McCourty's really getting beat. And they've had to resort to more zone coverage over the last couple of weeks, but he hasn't improved much. I got to admit, I'm smelling, you know, for lack of a better phrase, I'm smelling sophomore jinx here.
Yeah. I mean, I think the point about jamming people off the line is really good, too, because one of my other nitpicks is in that game, you know, the Cowboys game, Ninkovich was, he was on the line. He needed to jam, I think, at least on one or two plays, he was trying to jam Witten.
Mm-hmm.
He totally whiffed. You know, I expect if there's a linebacker on the line,
yep,
he's going to at least get a hit, you know? And, like, I'm talking about, like, brushed, you know? Like, if you, like, passed somebody on the street and gave him a slap on the shoulder,
mm-hmm,
that was his jam. And it's like, I can't understand. To me, Ninkovich and Guyton were both big disappointments in that game. I thought that Spikes really stepped up. And, by the way, I loved that rush up the middle,
mm-hmm,
you know? I don't understand, again. I called a few weeks ago and I said, I don't understand why they're not rushing.
I remember.
Up the middle. They have a great line.
Right.
The line is the strength.
Well, part of that.
Split the guys and run.
Part of that is the play from Kyle Love, who's played very well. And part of it is from, you know, Albert Haynesworth being out there. I thought Haynesworth had one of his better games for the short time he was out there. I thought he actually was pretty effective on Sunday.
Yeah, I think he gets a bad rep because people expect that he's going to be sacking all the time.
And agreed.
He's really going to. But if he's taking up 2-3 guys on the line, that's a great impact. And
agreed.
I don't think people people don't really appreciate that as much as they should.
Absolutely agreed. Let me talk to your point about Jason Witten. First of all, I think the Patriots went into the game feeling like Witten had to be one of their targets to take him out of the game, and he didn't even catch a pass until the touchdown pass right before halftime.
Right.
So I actually think that they did a pretty good job on him. Mm-hmm. So for the time that you saw Ninkovich whiff. And I think I actually do remember that play. I actually think every other time they did a pretty good job of jamming him. So you have to realize you're talking about a guy who's a potential Hall of Fame player at tight end. So because of that, you're guarding him with who? Rob Ninkovich? Come on. Let's be real here. Ninkovich, with all due respect, nice guy, decent player, not probably going to be a Hall of Famer. And so when you're trying to match up a guy like Ninkovich with a guy like Witten, and maybe you're getting a little help from Guyton, and maybe you're getting a little help from Ahedebo and whomever that is out there, the fact that they held Witten as much as they did, to keep him from being effective, I thought was a pretty solid job. Not a great job, a solid job. What they had to do to win the game. So I think you have to realize that you've got to be willing to give up a few plays here and there in order to win the battle. Give up a couple of battles in order to win the war. And I think that's ultimately what the defense did. They held back. They held an offense, a dynamic offense like the Cowboys. And the Cowboys, to me, and we said this all last week, Kat, on the show here. We said this all last week. The Cowboys probably have the next best offense in the entire NFL to the Patriots in terms of their personnel.
I know. I don't know.
They do. You got to look. They've got big physical receivers. I think Felix Jones, when he's healthy, is a solid running back. And frankly, I have not seen DeMarco Murray run as well as he did this past Sunday since he was at Oklahoma. If you have DeMarco Murray running like he did Sunday, and you're able to keep Jones on the field relatively healthy, that's a great 1-2 punch in the backfield. And Tony Romo is Tony Romo. He's hit or miss.
Right.
You're going to love him. You're going to pull your head out. You're going to your hair out. You're going to hate him. But at least Romo has the capability of leading you down the field and putting points on the board. And you have an all-world tight end. They have all the ingredients they need. The only thing they don't have is a speed burner. But the Patriots don't have that either.
Right.
So to me, the fact is you held that team to 16 points. That's huge.
Oh yeah, great job. Great job on that. I definitely agree. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. In the first half, they did a great job on Witten. The second half, they slipped a little bit. And I think I think everybody across the board did a little bit. I don't know if the defense was just tired or what, but.
Well, I think you're not far off base here. I think you have to realize it's a 60-minute game. Adjustments are going to be made at halftime. Jason Garrett, Cowboys head coach, is known for, his offensive adjustments. I think that they did that. I think the Patriots were able, at the very least, to keep the Cowboy receivers in front of them, and I think that was the key.
Yeah.
They didn't want to get beat by these big physical guys they have. Dez Bryant is a monster. The guy is a physical freak. He's a monster. And, he got a few grabs early. But I think the Patriots did a great job adjusting him and taking his butt right out of the game in the second half. So while others were able to get the ball, they shut Bryant down and out. And I was just incredibly impressed with that.
Yeah, I think my last nitpick with that game is I heard the earlier caller talk about Mankins.
Yep.
I was kind of surprised because I thought that Light didn't have a great game.
He didn't.
I think he's been struggling the last few games, and I'm wondering if he's kind of nearing the end of his career here.
I'm wondering the same thing.
Yeah,
okay. I'm actually wondering the same thing. I'm not going to knock Matt Light. He's not really. It's not really a nitpick, but. I would tell you that because the Patriots are thin on the offensive line with Vollmer not being out there, that, you're talking about, Matt probably doesn't get as many snaps. He's probably alternating some possessions with Solder, which is what was the original thought here, and letting Vollmer man right tackle and letting Light and Solder get the reps at left tackle. And so he's not able to do that now because Solder's got to go over and play right tackle.
Right.
And by the way, how fortunate are the Patriots to have a guy like Solder who's adaptable, to be able to go and do that?
I've been very surprised. I've been really happily surprised by him.
I agree. He's been a tremendous find for the Patriots with their first-round pick. That is, he's been great. He's, you know, I wouldn't say all pro. Very few rookies are, but he's been solid. And anytime a rookie can come in and get as much time and be solid, I mean, has he been burned a couple of times? Yeah, but that's because he's a rookie. You know, right. And he'll learn some things, and he'll learn guys, and he'll learn their moves, and he'll know how to avoid them perhaps in the future. But I got no complaints with that. It looked like there was a bit of a bull rush up the middle a couple of times on Mankins, and I do think it might have been, and I really have to go back and look at the video as Eric and I were talking about earlier, but I think there was some help out on Dan Connolly on a few occasions, and that allowed Mankins to get beat to his other side. That's just, yeah. It makes perfect sense. It's very logical to assume that. It's probably what happened.
I wonder, too, if they said to Mankins, you know, lights in the whole game, help him out a little. You know what I mean? Like, if you kind of divide the guy's attention
mm-hmm.
between Connolly and Light, and he's trying to help both guys out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for Mankins, though. He is an elite guy, and he should be. I feel like he should be playing at that level. But.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, you'd franchised, and you know, if you're going to blow your franchise on a guy like that, and then you re-sign him to however long you've re-signed him for, and yeah, I don't disagree. The expectations are high, but again, you got to realize in this game, even Tom Brady has bad weeks. He had one this week, yeah. And the Patriots were lucky. So I think you have to realize, you know what, Logan Mankins, for all the money you're paying him, he's going to have a week where he just doesn't quite meet those expectations, just like Brady has a week where he just doesn't quite meet expectations. But you're willing to give the guy a pass because of what he's done in the past. And I think we have to realize that, you know what, Mankins is probably also on that same pedestal, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think you got to realize you got to give him a pass every so often. Now, you know, believe me, those guys are such competitors. You know, this is why Brady's even taking criticism, as you well know, Kat, for running off the field and not doing post-game handshakes or,
right.
You know, not doing the prayer group at midfield or whatever,
yep.
And being short and getting off the field. Why? It's because he's pissed at himself.
Right.
And Mankins is the same way, so let's let him be pissed. I can almost guarantee you that, you know, those guys will work harder than just about anybody else out there, and if anybody's going to be ready for the next week, it's going to be one of those two guys. I'm not worried about either one. I'm surprised they had a bad week, but you know what? I have a bad day at work every so often. You probably have a bad day every so often. It's human nature. So I'm going to give them the pass. Now, where we don't give them the pass is if the bad days become a habit. If we see, like, three bad weeks out of four, now we got some problems.
Right.
And my guess is these guys are probably trying to cover up for injuries. That's usually when you see something like that happen. That's usually a good sign the guy's playing hurt, he's trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that over the next few weeks. We'll see how it goes.
Well, yeah, thanks. I'm looking forward to the week that they finally put all of this together, you know, and we actually see this team complete. You know what I mean? The defense gels, the offense is on. That's going to be a great game.
Do you feel like, where do you feel like this team is for 6 weeks now? I mean, is it where you thought it would be? Is it where it should be?
You know, if you'd asked me that last week, I would have said, I think they're way behind.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this game was really encouraging. So
they caught up?
I'm going to say they're maybe where, I don't know. They're either caught up or they're slightly behind.
Okay.
But
that's fair.
I think they're, you know, I'm encouraged. But again, I'm not as high on the Cowboys as you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm holding my breath for, you know, the next game after the bye week here to see who shows up.
Pittsburgh,
you know?
At Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough one. So we'll see. You know, but I have kind of an optimistic feeling about it that, I haven't had.
Well, they do have 2 weeks to get ready for the Steelers, and you know how the Patriots usually fare coming off of a bye week. They usually fare well. Actually, this game against the Steelers, when we went through the schedule at the beginning of the year, I picked this as a loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's too early for me to decide if I'm going to change, but what's that?
The Steelers have been playing odd, too. I mean, Roethlisberger's been,
mm-hmm.
you know, not what we've seen in past years.
Right.
It'll be interesting, and I think that Pittsburgh has a strong run, too, and the Patriots have shown that that's one area of the defense where they've been pretty consistent.
Right.
So I think you're right. I mean, I think it could end up being a real momentum builder for the second half of the season here.
I think it can be, and I think that's exactly what, you know, Coach Belichick and the staff will be telling the guys, that this is going to be a great springboard to the second half of the season. We want to start off on the right foot. We're going to make a statement. We're going to tell the AFC. We're going to tell the NFL, you know what? We deserve to be up at the top. You're going to have to shoot for us. You know, we fully expect to be there, and whoever gets there, you know, at the end, well, more power to you. But we're building toward postseason success where they haven't had it the last couple of years. That's what these guys are going to be focused on.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Yep, have a good afternoon.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Kat in Chicago. Good phone call. Where has she been, Kevin? Where has she been all my life? Yeah, we can play now. Now it's appropriate, right?
You can call her Kitty Cat when she calls next.
It's okay. No. She totally brought it. She totally brought it. She was right on top of things. That's good. Excellent. All right. Let's get some more emails in here. Our friend Tiff in Wisconsin. John, I'm happy to have Eric on the bye week. Sorry for the PFW humor. Okay, no problem. I think Garrett called a good game. Their defense held the Patriots to 13 points up until the final Patriot drive. Why wouldn't Garrett bet on the sure thing over the 50-50 guy? By criticizing Garrett's play calling, some are underrating the Patriots' defense and our own defensive play calling. Patriots' defense took a step forward. If I had to nitpick, I would criticize the missed tackles. Yeah, that's true. How much better would our defense have been if we had just made half of the missed tackles? I, you know what? I'm in love with our female participants here. It's out and out love. Between Kat and Tiff, talking football. How great is this? How great is this? Oh my gosh, where have you ladies been? She says, I know this is Nitpick Tuesday, but I have to praise my favorite Patriot, Bill Belichick. Bill is my absolute favorite Patriot because of his brilliance, and now he makes almost all opposing coaches seem amateur. I love the call he made to punt after the Patriots' final three and out right before Dallas went down to score their final field goal to go three up. You know, 12 wanted to go for it on fourth down. Kind of pouted about it. But Bill kept his cool, played chess, deciding to test his young, struggling defense by asking them to make a play and stop the Dallas offense. And I think that threw Garrett and Rob Ryan for a loop. Wow, it's good stuff. She says, it's play calling like that that makes me extremely happy that he is our coach. I have to admit that La Russa is the Bill Belichick of baseball managers. Now we're going to get into some World Series discussion. That's okay. Tiff, I'm going to borrow a phrase. You the man. But she is, totally. Way to go. Good email. Robert in Seattle. Robert, you're in the playbook. How's it going today?
Oh, pretty good, John. I wasn't really expecting the call today, but considering tomorrow's going to be pretty busy with your contest.
Game show. Yeah, game show Wednesday. Can't forget that. I hope you're around for it. We're going to have some fun.
Well, I'll listen to it. I'll have fun listening to it.
All right.
Hey, I think what we saw this last Sunday was just a good matchup of offense against defense. The Patriots offense against the Dallas defense. I think that was probably some of the best matchups that I've seen since the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the number one thing about it was the fact that the Patriots were not able to do things effectively, but yet they were able to overcome the defense. And it took down to the last 3 minutes to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was just perfect timing.
Well, you know, first of all, Dallas's defense, as we've talked about, as you're aware, is pretty athletic. They do move side to side very well. DeMarcus Ware is one of the preeminent players at his position in the league. Their secondary is adequate, but probably on the plus side of adequate. I mean, I wouldn't say they have any, you know, real solid press corners or, you know, any real, you know, Rodney Harrison's back there, but they're solid. They don't beat themselves. They've certainly advanced from the Roy Williams days at safety. So the Cowboys, again, Eric and I talked about this last week. That, on paper, is one of the more talented teams that the Patriots are going to face all year long. And you fought them tooth and nail in a game which you did not play well. And again, part of the reason you didn't play well is because the Cowboys are pretty good. You know, it wasn't just you shooting yourself in the foot. Now, the two fumbles were the first two fumbles of the year. So that obviously is a huge nitpick that hasn't been mentioned today that I will mention now. There's no excuse for that. That's totally and completely on the two backs. One was Matthew Slater on the return. There's no excuse for that. You got to put the ball away.
Well, I think one of the better matchups was coach against coach. I think
Rob Ryan, I thought, did an excellent job calling the game defensively for Dallas. And I think it stands to reason, you know, he's the guy that's responsible for the last two times now the Patriots have failed to score 30 points. Because he was the defensive coordinator for Cleveland last year when they got slaughtered in Cleveland.
I think we should charge him with insider trading.
Well, yeah, because he knows tendencies.
He knows too much.
He knows personnel. You know, he certainly knows Brady. He knows Belichick. I mean, he was the linebackers coach for two Super Bowl teams here.
No.
So yeah, I mean, it stands to reason. You've got to be ready now for Rob Ryan if you're going to play a Rob Ryan team, if you're the Patriots especially, because he knows you. And it's shown now, which is going to make Rob Ryan, I think, maybe one of the next hot guys to be a head coach.
Well, when Felix Jones went down with his little ankle injury, I was very impressed with DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, I was too.
I was impressed with him coming out, and he was just bulldozing through the left, through the right, up the middle.
Right, I agree. I was wondering where that came from, because I had not seen any of that in Dallas's first four games.
It was like he was running for the Heisman.
Yeah, well, he actually looked like the running back that I saw at Oklahoma, which was a pretty solid guy. And so I think, you know, I know Jerry Jones was pleased with him after the game and his running, and that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. Problem is, you got to keep Felix Jones healthy. But I think Jones is also a very good back, but Cowboys were able to kind of knock him out of the game a little bit. They tweaked him a little bit, and so they decided to stay with a hot hand, and that's why Murray got the reps most of the rest of the way.
Well, I'm going to chime in on what Kat had said. She was saying something about Bill Belichick. I think the fact that when Welker, it wasn't even called a touchdown. It was like in between the first yard line in the first half, to whereas Welker knew he crossed the goal line, and he's just giving Bill the signal, hey, pull the red flag,
yeah,
waving his arm,
yeah,
and all of a sudden you see Bill just go, come here.
Absolutely.
He just throws it out there, and he's
yeah,
having his discussion, and it's just amazing that Bill is, I want to just call him the guru of the red flag.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be.
You're absolutely right.
For him, It's perfect timing. I honestly think he's got a little devil on his shoulder on one side, and he's got an angel on his other, and they're both telling him to pull the flag.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and in Wes's instance, it was absolutely the correct thing to do because there wasn't even close.
I didn't even see his foot go out.
No, it never did. I think that was the issue.
Now, I don't even understand what the referee the line judge was looking at.
I don't know.
Even call him out at the one.
That was awful. It was just a terrible call. He blew it. I thought that officiating crew, by the way, was less than stellar. I thought they were subpar. You know, there were a lot of questions on some calls that just should not have been questioned. The only thing missing from that game was, you know, a late hit on the quarterback that wasn't a late hit. I mean, you know, I just they were just not demonstrative at all. And when they were, they made the wrong calls. It just was not a good day by the crew.
Now, I have a question for Eric, and he's always good at answering my questions. My question is Hernandez back at 100%, or do you believe he's just working his way back?
Well, Eric can't answer it since he's not here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did he step out again?
Yeah, well, he usually is here.
Dang,
only for
I've
the,
always missed
I know.
Eric.
Well, he's only here for the opening hour of the program because he's got, yeah. There you go. See, you've got the game show stuff already for tomorrow. No, he's only, traditionally, Robert, he's only here in the opening hour of the show because he has his writing deadline that he has to hit for POW.
So used to trying to be the first one to call, so this time I'm letting
usually, yeah. But I, you know, I'll answer, I can answer the question, at least to the extent from
I
what
thought
I know.
He was moving well.
And he was moving well, and he is better. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, are you 80, 85, 90, you're somewhere in that range. Well, that's good enough to get out on the field, so get out on the field. Can you do any more damage? Probably the only way you can do any more damage is if you took a direct hit. But then again, you know, you take a direct hit to your mouth, you're going to lose teeth. So, you know, six of one, half dozen other. If you can play, you get out there and play.
I wanted to say something about the Raiders, about Carson Palmer.
Okay.
Now, historically, the Raiders have gotten some good quarterbacks that teams just don't want or just don't want them to succeed. And for instance, let's talk about Jim Plunkett.
Mm-hmm.
They grabbed Jim Plunkett way back when, and they take him to the Super Bowl a couple of years later. So, I mean, I could easily see, I'm gonna jinx myself. I know it. I can see Carson Palmer lead the Raiders deep into the playoffs within the next, either this year, or next year, or the year after. I can actually see him being silver and black for a while.
Yeah, I think I could too.
And he is a California boy, so.
Yeah, you know, I think it's possible. I don't know if it happens this year, although, you know, the division might be, you know, I mean, well, it depends whether or not the Chargers decide to come back to the pack, but.
Well, the offense is primed for at least a good QB, you know. I mean, Campbell was doing real well.
Mm-hmm.
Now just imagine Palmer's going to have a running game to basically have play action
right.
to play with, you
right.
know, so.
Precisely.
I just think Hayward Bay is, you know, is going to have all these bombs, and he's going to look like the second coming of Randy Moss.
Correct.
Over at the Raiders.
Correct. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's pretty safe.
So I honestly, well, with the running game, I was expecting against the Pats, I was expecting nothing but. Run, play action. Run, play action. Now Carson Palmer's going to be there. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be even more.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think, you know, if you're, you know, following the Raiders, you have to feel like you got a second lease on life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In all honesty.
You know, the one thing is I had a question about Chad Ochocinco-Johnson.
Okay.
Now I wasn't actually keeping track of him throughout the game, but I do not remember him having a reception.
He did not. He was only targeted once. The coach was asked about that somewhat yesterday, and you know, and he reiterated that, you know, oftentimes it's not because they don't have confidence in the receiver. It's just that oftentimes that's not what the game plan dictates.
Okay, and on your personal note, are the Patriots going to trade for anybody or get rid of anybody?
I don't think so. I think, first of all, I think they feel like they're in a depth situation where they probably can't really afford to give up what they have. If they could make a move in the secondary, and I know Asante Samuel's name has come about, it really depends on what the Eagles would accept for him to bring him back.
Historically, what did we give up when we got rid of Asante Samuel?
He didn't give up anything. He was a free agent.
Free agent.
So.
Oh, so we got a compensatory pick or
yeah,
whatever. The
right.
Pick there.
Right.
Okay.
So, I, you know, believe that, you know, that might be worth taking a look at. But I mean, what are the Eagles going to accept? You know, they did have some interest, as we said earlier, in the receiver, Brandon Lloyd. But, you know, that's one of those things where it goes to the bidder with the worst record, and the Rams decided they wanted him, and they got him. So, you know, that's why he's moving on there. But there was some interest in the Patriots, you know, looking at him. And my guess would be that unless something falls through the cracks here over the next half an hour, nothing's going to happen. I got to admit, the Twitterverse is actually fairly quiet.
Okay.
Right now, on trades. Yeah.
Now, did we release Brandon Tate, or did we actually trade him off at the beginning of the?
We released him.
We released him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now Slater is basically relegated to the Brandon Tate position. Basically, he's kickoff returns, special teams, and going in as a third wideout.
Yeah, that's his role.
Okay.
That's his role. He's a special teams captain. Robert. So, I mean, that's what he does. I mean,
right.
That's what he's on the team to do.
I was not happy seeing him fumble.
I've never seen. That's absolutely correct, and you're right. That's for a guy that's only going to touch the ball maybe two or three times a game.
And that kind
you can't afford to fumble it once. And so, yeah, that was definitely on him, and I'm sure he's going to hear from it.
Oh, I think he's going to hear it daily from Bill.
Yep.
I think Bill's going to put a tattoo on his forehead backwards so
probably.
He can read it in the mirror.
Probably.
Do not fumble.
Right.
Yep. Hey, thank you, John. I appreciate it, and hope to hear your show tomorrow.
Thanks, Robert.
Have a great week.
You got it. You too. Robert in Seattle. All right, there you go. 508-298-0398. The Ace Ticket Hotline has been moving today. Email us webradio@patriots.com. Let's do some more emails. Nitpicks and trade possibilities. Anything on your mind as we're now 22 minutes away from the trade deadline, and there's really just no news to talk about. As far as the Patriots are concerned, there's nothing going on, that doesn't mean that something might not be talked about in another portion of this stadium, but it would have to be consummated before the top of the hour. Asante Samuel name has come up plenty of times. The Carson Palmer deal going to Oakland looks like it's going to manifest itself. I'm just looking at some of the other stuff that might be up here and mentionable. Give me 2 seconds here. And here it comes. Yeah, see, that's really about it. Why is it that every time I go to the computer and really want it to respond, it freezes? It's almost like it just it pisses me off on purpose, you know? It's just like, oh, he wants me to talk now. He wants me to scroll now. So I'm gonna piss him off. And, you know, isn't this great? Just, oh, God. All right, it works now. It's because I bitch loud enough here. The only other moves, let's see what else we have. Nope. Palmer to Raiders. Wide receiver Sims Walker re-signing with Jacksonville. Let's see what else we have here. Apparently some teams are interested in Forte of the Bears. Let's see. Cowboys have re-signed Holland, a veteran guard. Just looking at some of the brief headlines, the news headlines. That's really about it. Rusty, that's kind of quiet. So Matt Forte may be moving on away from Chicago. Don't think that's really somebody the Patriots would have an interest in. So, far as a New England edge to it, New England slant to it, not a lot right now. Samuel is the one intriguing name that's out there. None of the Patriots players, by the way, are really getting mentioned. I don't know if the Patriots would have dangled someone like Chad Ochocinco out there or not. Can't say that they would have. Right now, you're too concerned about your own depth, as we talked about a little bit earlier. So I'm not sure that that would be really what they want to do. All right, nitpick here comes from Clay in Foster, Rhode Island. Foster Gloucester. How about the lack of fundamentals? Like, oh, tackling? It's so frustrating seeing these defensive players making millions of dollars to play defense. Make tackles. Tackling up high constantly will not get it done. It's almost like they don't want to get hurt. The local high school kids can tackle better. Great show. I'll keep listening. Thank you, Clay. You know, yeah, that's also been a sort of a common theme here for Nitpick Tuesday is the poor tackling. It came up, as I mentioned, in the opening hour of the show today. It came up yesterday on the Bill Belichick interview with the guys from EEI, and they wondered if the fundamental lack of tackling skills being shown was due in part to the fact that this team can't practice in full pads as much as they had in the past, and Bill jumped right over it and didn't answer the question. And again, you have to learn to read between the lines, so to speak. And he's answering the question. He's just answering directly to where he can get hammered from it. Absolutely. It's a problem. It's an absolute problem. You are limited in the number of full contact, full pad practices you can have during the course of a season because of the new collective bargaining agreement. You're limited. Eric and I talked about this as well in the opening hour. For those that may have tuned in late, you are allowed 14 full contact practices over the course of the regular season, but you have to take the first 11 of those in the first 11 weeks. It's sort of a use 'em or lose 'em situation over the first 11 weeks. And then if you get into the postseason, you're allowed one per week. That's it. That's it. So by our count, Eric believes that through the first 6 weeks of the season, the Patriots, and this is now week seven, or actually week eight, I should say, because they've played, that's right, week seven, because they played six games, so week seven. Through the first 6 weeks of the season, Eric's count is unofficial. It's unofficial. He's going to go back and look at it again, but he thinks the Patriots have had five full pad practices in the opening 6 weeks, which means now, for the last 5 weeks before you get to that 11-week mark, they have six more they can practice. Now, they won't take any this week because it's the bye week. So that would be over the last 4 weeks. Over the next 4 weeks, they would have up to six full pad practices they could utilize in a use-it-or-lose-it scenario. And then three over the last what is that, 3 over the last 6 weeks of the season. There you go. That's it. That's what the rules tell you can do. So don't be surprised if we're griping about fundamentals and calling guys, you know, not as good as the high schoolers down the street. Because they might not be, because the high schoolers down the street are probably working more on fundamentals than these guys are. But it's what these guys bargain for in their contract. Brian, John, just wanted to say hi. I'm from Longview, Texas. I was born and raised in Texas. You would think I would like all the Texas teams around here, but I don't. I've always been a Boston fan from the Patriots, Celtics, and Red Sox. My family and friends told me I should move up there or down there, but I'm not a fan of cold weather. Oh, I see. Okay, you're in Longview. Gotcha. Anyways, I wanted to discuss about the Patriots' defense. I was very happy with their performance overall. Unfortunately, I wish the Cowboys would have been more aggressive on that last possession. I feel that would have added a little bit more pressure for the defense to perform, because you always want your opponent to go all out in order to know if your defense can handle that type of situation. That's a good point. Don't get me wrong, the Patriots' D did make the stop, which was excellent. They did everything they were supposed to do. I just wish Dallas would have thrown the ball a couple times in order to see where we stand under that particular circumstance. Overall, though, it was a good game. We still got the W. Go Pats. All right, we have a Patriots fan in Longview, Texas, of all places. My goodness. Went to Longview, many Longview Lobo high school games, not only when I was in high school in Fort Worth, but even a couple when I was in college. Yes, Longview Lobos. So good stuff, Brian. Thanks for chiming in. Joshua in Washington, D.C. Weren't we just talking about tackling problems? Bringing Samuel back would only add to that problem. He couldn't possibly be worse than McCourty, though. I've been trying to give that guy the benefit of the doubt, but damn, he was terrible this weekend. Not sure I can forgive Samuel for the 2007 Super Bowl interception drop. Well, okay. You kind of make sense there, Joshua. All right, I'll give you a little credit for that one. But I try not to revisit history. So I think we got to get by 2007, as tough as it may be. But you do bring up a point about McCourty. Fact is, he was not good this last week. It looked like he regressed even over what we saw, you know, over weeks 4 and 5. I don't know. That one has me scratching my head. You know, here's a kid who had an unbelievable rookie year. Maybe this is nothing more than a sophomore jinx. Maybe it is because, as we suggested, this team has tried to be fundamentally more of a man team than a zone team defensively this year. And maybe we're just learning, you know, what his weak spots are. And maybe this is just part of the growing up process that a guy like Devin McCourty has to go through in order to improve as a player. I don't know. Worth a thought anyway, right? It's possible. Malcolm in Beaumont, Texas. Malcolm, you're in the playbook. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
What's on your mind?
I am very, very, very happy of my New England Patriots winning this Sunday.
Yep.
And because I'm in Texas and I'm around a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans.
Well, of course you are. Of course you are.
Oh yeah.
Now, how did you get to be a Patriots fan?
I was born in 1985.
Okay.
And I just go by the team that played in the Super Bowl when I was born.
Okay.
And it was the Bears and the Patriots.
Oh, no kidding. Well, that's interesting. All right. Hey, it doesn't matter. We're glad you're with us.
Yes, sir.
So, you have a question about the game on Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
My question is that what is Ocho going to do now? That's my question.
Well, I don't think he's going to do anything. Unfortunately, that's part of the problem. I've said all along, Malcolm, that, you know, I really think that you start to get a picture not only of what kind of team you have, but how your players are going to be maybe for the rest of the year after about 6 weeks into the process. And so if that's the case, then I think we have to realize that Ocho Cinco, is not the receiver, obviously, he once was, although I don't really believe anybody in their right mind thought that he would be. But I think we all reasonably expected him to make at least some kind of a contribution. But the Patriots only targeted him one time. They only threw him the ball one time, and he didn't catch it. And even Coach Belichick said after the game it was partly because, you know, that's the way the game plan dictated it. So don't read anything into that. Well, okay, that may be the case, but it also, I think we also know that Bill really likes Chad personally. And so he's not going to throw him under the bus, whether he thinks he stinks or not. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So
it makes plenty of sense.
So he's, you know, I don't, again, they're not going to throw him under the bus. He's still going to be, a part of the team. He won't be the A choice. You know, for, you know, Tom Brady at receiver, but when he gets his reps in the game, they're still going to throw to him. Hopefully he'll be able to contribute before the year's done. But I just don't think anybody should be disappointed, nor do I think anybody should be expecting too much because, you know, as we like to say around here, it is what it is.
Yes, sir. I take the win.
It like, is what it is.
Like the rivalry say, coast say, I take it.
That's absolutely right. A win is a win is a win is a win. And the team is...
And I got one more question before I go.
You bet.
I was on Facebook and I was talking to a 49er fan.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the Patriots is not a dynasty. I told him, you know what I'm saying, how is the Patriots not a dynasty? These people won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years.
Yep.
In 4 years.
Yep.
Cowboys considered as a dynasty in the 90s because of that.
Right.
Why we ain't.
Right.
He said because you got to lose a Super Bowl.
I know. Well.
You know what I'm saying? I say losing Super Bowl. Cowboys lost, what, 3 of them?
Yeah.
Two of them?
Well, if we go by his criteria then there's no way the Niners are dynasty in the 80s because they didn't lose any.
Yeah.
Clearly, you got a San Francisco fan there who just doesn't know what he's talking about.
Not at all. They try to put us against the Buffalo, the 90s Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that would make
these people.
That would make the Buffalo Bills a big dynasty. They lost 4 times.
Yeah. I told him I got a person that won 3 Super Bowls, and he's still my quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We ain't had no really, really top name receivers in these Super Bowls. Dion Britt showed up against Philadelphia.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
He had Jerry Rice, John Taylor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Britt Jones, Steve Young, you had big names.
Well,
Brady came in after Bledsoe. Nobody really knew what Brady could do.
Right, right. Well, you have a fan there, Malcolm, and thanks for the call. You have a fan there that just didn't know what he was talking about. So, but that's okay. It happens from time to time. You keep your argument the exact same way that you've kept it. You keep battling him. You keep dropping names, and I think you'll finally wear him down. Chris sends this in. He brought up Facebook. Chris sends this in via Facebook. He says, so Brady didn't start the game 18 for 20 with 2 touchdowns like I thought, but didn't you guys notice that Dallas was running the clock down on every one of their possessions starting in the first quarter? Seems like they were taking the play clock down to 3 or 4 every time. Good strategy, but that kept Dallas from getting into an offensive rhythm either. They were playing not to lose rather than to win. That's just not how a legit team plays. It's a copycat league. I see teams trying to follow this Dallas blueprint. You know, that's a great point, Chris, and I'm glad you brought it up. That was the other thing that I was going to bring up today, and I didn't get a chance to do it, but that's fact remains is that Cowboys did take the play clock down deep on just about every snap. And managing the clock and trying to keep the ball out of the Patriots' offensive hand is certainly one of the ways you can defend this team. If you don't turn the ball over a couple of times yourself, speaking of the Cowboys, you probably win the game.
There's your fault in your argument, though.
What is that?
The Cowboys weren't have to not turn the ball.
No, well, but we know that doesn't happen.
That's what I mean.
It's a guy like Tony Romo.
But you're right. They were smart to run the clock down. I figured the Patriots do that a lot, too, against they have in the past against some teams.
Correct.
But like I said, even that, you know, nice interception by Arrington. But I know Carter had a little bit of pressure. But like I said last week, Tony Romo will find you. You don't have to worry about him. He'll find you. I mean, it was some. And I watched it again.
He actually,
morning.
You know what?
It was a nice interception.
I don't really have a problem with the way Romo played Sunday. You know, Jason Garrett took the ball out of his hands at the end.
And what does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, it's because they expect him to screw up. That's why.
That's kind of sad, though.
It is kind of sad.
I hope there's a lot of kitten to talk this week.
No, I don't think so. Anything special coming up today?
No, just me and the callers and the Facebook people.
That's special.
Is that special enough for you?
Yeah, that's special.
So Mac Brown, first time ever loses a game to Oklahoma State after losing.
Yeah, loses a game after Oklahoma. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. First time. That's the first time for everything.
First time.
Yeah, I know. It happens. But you know what, though? I expected it.
I know.
I expected it.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Some interesting, you know, this handshake thing is just so freaking ridiculous.
What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you know what?
I don't care.
Yeah, first of all,
you're
right.
I just don't care.
No, it really...
I always know it was amusing. I was watching, thank God, if you didn't have the Red Zone, you didn't really get to see it. Red Zone, and because it was right before the Patriots game came on, and literally up to almost a minute before kickoff, so I had the Red Zone channel on. You were down here, so I'm sure you didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you're watching it on regular, because the game was on Fox 25 locally in Boston anyway, they cut away. But if you had Red Zone channel, they showed everything, you know, and they cut away for a second, then went right back to it. So you saw all the BS. You know, it's childish stuff. It's the same, you know, it's not quite as bad as Mangini and Belichick and Parcells, that kind of stuff. All, but this handshake stuff and the way that ESPN and NFL Network has blown it out of proportion. I mean, come on.
They're just looking for something weird and different. And yeah,
it's just ridiculous. I mean, I think Harbaugh, there's a certain etiquette you have to have in midfield. And he crossed the line. No, I don't know how bad. But on the other hand, it was Schwartz who yelling at Harbaugh across the way on that. And I was watching that game. Paid more attention to that game than a lot of other ones on Sunday. He was yelling at him when he threw the beanie for challenging a play that could not be challenged. He got a 15-yard.
Right.
Unsportsmanlike contact penalty for it, and Schwartz yells out, "Know the rules." I mean, but that kind of stuff probably happens all the time too.
It was just some gamesmanship, and he was fired up. And, you know, that's all.
There's so many other things to worry about.
All right, Pete Shepard's coming up in a couple of minutes. We'll finish off here with a couple of emails and a Facebook post or two. Daryl says, "John, I hate to beat the dead horse any further, but I feel like I've got to put my two cents in here. In an interview during the early weeks of the regular season, Tom Brady was asked how long it took for him to find his vibe with a new wideout. The answer he gave is telling. In the course of a regular year, it usually takes until week 8 before Tom's and said receiver are comfortable. Chad has certainly made his mistakes, but let's understand that this is week 6 of a shortened season where the reliever has been in the system for a grand total of 12 weeks, mid-July of a regular offseason. Ochoa has his quirks, but he's far from washed up or anything. Sure, he's not been a go-to playmaker, but neither has Taylor Price or even Deion Branch in most games. I think there is a level to this Patriot offense that few outside the organization really could understand. When they talk about chemistry and being on the same page, we glaze over. But what Brady has with his receivers is an understanding and a shared mental image of what the defense is and how to react to it. It's literally being of one mind. One in process of thought and conclusion. Then you got to go out and execute the same unspoken play or route to perfection. As of week 6, with no off season, I think he's doing the only thing that can be expected: progress. Okay, good points by Daryl. Tim says, "Here's my nitpick from Sunday: Gary Guyton over pursued on the run several times, leaving a cutback lane behind him, caught napping on a big third down completion to Witten. Not a great game." Poor tackling in general other than Chung. McCourty's attempts on the sideline reminded me of the Nerf missile technique employed by Samuel in his tenure, just bouncing off the guy. Well, that's actually a good point. And then let me get Chad's in here. Chad says, "John, seem to hear a lot of people praising the defense for their performance against Dallas, but I can't completely agree, although I will admit the D-line played their best game. The secondary still bothered me. Yes, Arrington had a pick, but it wasn't him making a play on the ball. It seems like the secondary is lacking a playmaker in that area. Could not agree more, Chad. Of all the interceptions I see, it seems like the ball comes to the player, not the player making a play on the ball." That's a great point. "What can the Pats do to fill the void that makes them 32nd in the league in opposing passing yards?" They can rush the quarterback. We've said that from day one. They flat out can find a way to get more pressure on the passer. They did this last week. They made steps. We saw, you know, Andre Carter come up with, you know, his first couple of sacks of the year. I had a chance to talk to Andre after the game, and, you know, he said, it's coming. It's getting a little bit better every week. They feel it. They know it. We see it. Now they've just got to continue the progress, but it is coming. Chad says, "Asante Samuel's on the block. Could that be an answer?" Well, we'll find out ultimately in about 2 minutes because it looks like that's all the time we got until the trade deadline is finally and officially here. So that's where we are with that. A couple of extra emails here. This one comes from our friend Gustavo in Brazil. John, tough win, but a good win. Shows that we can have great comebacks when needed. My nitpicks are the second interception by Brady. Everybody was covered. He was out of the pocket. And with a defensive lineman in his face, throw it away. He knows better. Chung and Guyton being fooled by Dez Bryant on the second quarter catch. I know he's good, but two players? Come on. And then he says about the trade deadline, get Jared Allen. But not going to happen, right? Nope. But good thought. Tyler from Georgia. So on the postgame show, Adam and Kevin had a small debate about who to credit the win with. Adam went with Brady. Kevin said the D. I wanted to get your thoughts on who should be credited with the win. Speak up, Kev.
I thought there was no way the Patriots would have even been in that game with the way the offense played without the stops the defense came up with and limiting Dallas to field goals and not touchdowns. I got to give Brady all the credit in the world for that last drive. It was amazing and all that, but they're not even in a position to win that game down 3 points without the defense holding.
Right. I understand where Adam's coming from because Brady's money, and he's done it now 32 times in his career.
But he was also part of the reason why they were losing that
That's
game
also true.
Up until the last.
And the defense
drive.
Had to come up with stops, and they did.
They kind of had to cover his ass up until that last
drive.
Let's not forget the other two fumbles, too, by Hernandez and Slater.
True.
Those were big.
Yeah,
true. Those were big. Those were two big possessions.
They were big.
But you're right. 6 points off four turnovers, awesome. Yeah. As opposed to 24 points with Buffalo off four turnovers.
Exactly.
The difference in the games, right? Because if you give up what you gave up against Buffalo, you lose that game easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think you have to credit the defense. I think the star of the game on Sunday was the improving Patriot defense. It's not there. It's not where we want it to be. It's getting there. It's made strides. We've seen improvements in a couple of different areas now over the last 3 weeks. We've seen fairly steady improvement. That isn't a nitpick, but it is a good sign.
The one guy I'm most impressed with, and see if you're, is Spikes. And I was hoping, and maybe for him, I want Mayo back, but maybe it's kind of a blessing in disguise just to watch his development. I think he's been the most improved player out there the last month.
Spikes,
to be honest with you. Yes.
Spikes was flying to the ball. He has been over the last 3 weeks, especially. Pete, I would second that one. We've had a couple of people also mention Brandon Spikes today, email and stuff.
It's good to see him just get a running head start and just blow up the center and blow up the guard, and it's stuff you haven't seen from a linebacker in a while here.
Yep. We need that. Now, if you can continue with that kind of thing, you get a relatively healthy Gerard Mayo back. I don't think Gary Guyton's been terrible, although we did have a nitpicker point out that he did get beat on a couple of plays this week, but I think he's at least been adequate, especially since he's basically your backup inside linebacker. The Patriots are playing the way they normally play. Guy has to miss time because of an injury. Somebody else has to step up. Guyton's done that. They've done that in a second. James Ahedibo has done that at safety.
Don't forget Dan Conley at center. One of the most important things.
Another good point.
I mean, the offensive line was a little shaky, but again, you can't be perfect every week. Conley's done a great
job. Second team guys that are in there.
See the Jets if you think center isn't important.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Good points. All right, Pete Shepard's coming up next. Tomorrow, kids, be here for Game Show Wednesday, okay? We'll start it promptly at 2 o'clock Eastern time. We'll have some prizes to give away. We're going to do it over the phone, so make sure that you take a little bit of time out of your day tomorrow to join us. We'll have football-related, Patriots-related questions for you. Tomorrow's going to be a fun day because it's an off week here. It's a bye week. We can't really X and O. There's not a whole lot of stuff to open up the playbook over tomorrow. So it's a fun day tomorrow. It's a Game Show Wednesday. Be here. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel, manana. Multiple shots are going through your tip. You must have gone past the target, boy. You were blessed. And I'm going to take them out the game, y'all.